He is Jaden Markin. This is Car Keys.
Yes, it is, and it was a great fall weekend here in the northwest corner of Connecticut in our tri-state area. I want to talk about the last Sunday motoring meet at Lime Rock Park yesterday, and it was absolutely fabulous. So, just as a recap, the Sunday motoring meets at Lime Rock have been a series of events promoted by this company, FCP Euro, which is based in Connecticut, and they are a parts vendor supplier. They have organized, I'd say, 8 or 10, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, car shows on Sundays at Lime Rock. As we all know, there's no racing on Sundays at Lime Rock, but that's not a reason not to have cars there and enjoy the park. And this weekend was no exception. The last themed brand, or brands actually, were VW and Audi. So the whole concept has been throughout the year. There was a Ferrari event, a Jaguar event, a BMW event, a Porsche event, Mercedes, I believe, and a few others. And all cars are invited, but the themed car brands are all lined up on the track itself. And I think yesterday there were over 1,000 cars displayed at the track. It was absolutely phenomenal, and it was great. It's interesting to see how the VW brand has evolved over the years. And, you know, we all know how the brand started, post-World War II in the 1950s and 60s with little air-cooled engines and little bugs and microbuses. And there were some of those there yesterday, but the majority of cars were cars ranging from the 1980s to today, and a lot of tweaked cars, and I say tweaked meaning tuned cars. A lot of people have gone through a lot of expense and labor to make those cars, quote-unquote, better, more performance. And a lot of times, there's not a lot of point to all of this except the pride and joy of owning a very special and unique car.
Which at one point was something to aspire to.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age of bland automotive, or perceived bland automotive landscape, it's fun to see people who actually love their cars and just personalize them. I mean, I'm thinking of one Volkswagen Golf R, fairly contemporary car, that was in a green color that I know Volkswagen does not offer. So this car was totally stripped, painted, and rebuilt for no other reason to make it totally unique. So this is just one example. But it was great to see the event. It was also a Halloween themed event, so a lot of people and a lot of kids in costumes. saw a lot of people there who were there at Lime Rock for the first time. And I guess this is part of what the track is trying to do, is attract new people to new events and just promote the track. And I think they do that in a great way. And again, these car shows have been phenomenal all throughout the year, but this one's the biggest one yet. And on a side note, I stopped to take a picture of a license plate. Now I'm going on a tangent and talking about diesel and diesel fuel and Dieselgate. I see this one Volkswagen station wagon, and the license plate is Dieselgate, DSL Gate. And I thought, okay, somebody's not embarrassed by the whole diesel scandal that VW went through. And so I take a picture of the license plate, and the very next car, the guy looks at me and says, "You may want to take a picture of mine too." And it was the same car, same color, and diesel, and it was another Dieselgate plate spelled slightly differently. And I thought, okay, good for you guys. I have a diesel Volkswagen myself, and it pains me to fill the fuel tank these days with the price differential of over $2. You know, the gas prices in the 360s or whereabouts, and diesel is at $5.75, $5.80. That's over $2 more per gallon. So the cost effectiveness of diesel obviously is becoming a problem for those of us who run on the fuel.
And then let's talk about the dire diesel slowdown. Like we've got 21 days left or something, 27 days left of diesel. Or is that not crossing anybody's radar yet?
It probably is not crossing anybody's radar yet.
I'm just saying when, because trucks, transport, you know, there's a lot that runs on diesel.
There's a lot, absolutely. Every single big truck out there runs on diesel, yeah. And it won't be for another few years when we start seeing electric trucks on the roads. And by the way, that will happen, and not just with Tesla's, what do they call it? But they have a Tesla electric truck coming out, and I think the first trucks are going to hit the market in the next year or so. But there are other companies building, big semi trucks that are going to be fully electric, and they've started running them in Europe this year, I believe. So, you know, over time we might not rely as much on diesel fuel, but right now it's still huge, and and the price is just outrageous.
And again, nobody seems to be focused at all on the fact that we're working our way down to a situation. Let's just say an issue.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the only thing we can do is drive less. Well, no, actually not. It's consume less goods. I guess they all move with diesel fuel at this point. But anyway, we're still going towards an electric vehicle landscape in the foreseeable future. The European Commission, I think, has just agreed on banning ICE internal combustion engines by the year 2035, and that's only a dozen years away. And the goal is to reduce CO2 emissions by 100%. Plain and simple. And most European manufacturers they don't have a choice, but a lot of them are shooting to meet that goal before the end of the decade. We can find all the reasons not to like or want to drive electric cars, but the reality is the biggest one of the biggest markets in the world, Europe, is going to go all electric in the next 10, 12 years. So it's certainly going to affect the number of cars that manufacturers are going to put out. And so even just on the supply side, on this side of the pond, we're sure to see a lot more electric cars coming out in the next few years.
So let me ask an annoying question, if you don't mind. So what's the European electric grid is stronger than ours, yes?
I don't know. They're going to have problems. Yes, I mean they're having problems already now.
I'm having. Anybody who knows me on this date can tell that I'm having problems. They're not even issues. They're problems with massive inconsistencies, and you know it's almost like seeing how much people will swallow without questioning the narrative from a practical standpoint, because again we see the electric cars are great, except that you have to plug them in.
You have to plug them in, and there's all sorts of issues that come with that. Obviously, the electric grid is obviously the major one, and without an electric grid that's reliable, you're not going to have cars on the road. So. Your point is well taken.
Just thought I'd mention it. Let's move on to the like shiny colors and the nice.
There's great new electric cars on the market, and Car and Driver just elected their EV Car of the Year, and it is the Hyundai Ioniq 5, which is a great-looking electric vehicle. It's great-looking. It is well-built. It's attractively priced. It does everything well. It's an SUV, but kind of looks like a car. It has more than adequate performance, and the range is amongst the best in the 250 to 300 mile, I think 270 mile range. And again, range is not everything, because a lot of new electric vehicles like the Rivian truck and the Rivian SUV, the Hummer SUV, even the Ford F-150 Lightning, all have more than adequate range in the 300, sometimes up to 400 mile range. But you still have to produce the energy to move the vehicles, and they're big vehicles. They weigh 7,000 pounds or more in some cases, and they have bigger motors, bigger battery pack. It takes longer to charge them, so the cost of running them is still in proportion with the size of the vehicle. I mean, running an electric vehicle is not free. I mean, plugging it in costs money, and there's also an interesting article and analysis of the cost of running a gas-powered car versus an electric car. And this one test I was reading about, just in Car and Driver, compared the Kia, one of the little Kias, I forget the name, the Kia Kona electric versus the gas model, and also compared the Ford F-150 Lightning to the gas-powered F-150. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the Ford F-150 Lightning was over a three-period ownership period less expensive to operate and own than the gas version of it. On the other hand, the little Kia Kona was more expensive by a lot, unless you factored in the $7,500 tax credit. I think the electric Kona was $5,000 more total ownership cost over 3 years. The electric car was more expensive than the gas car until and unless you applied the $7,500 tax credit. So even on a cost basis, it's sometimes hard to make the case for electric vehicles. But you know, like it or not, they're still coming.
Oh, I mean, we're not talking about whether or not they're coming. It's just the sort of specious. It's almost like way, way back when, you know, two potheads having an argument about something. It's like, okay, whatever. In other words, there are two sides. You don't even want to have an argument. There's just considerations with both.
And there's, there are great cars coming out, and whether they're electric or gas powered really doesn't. I mean, of course it matters, but you can get excited by the new Mercedes EQS. Cadillac is coming out with their first electric car that should be available sometime next year, the Lyriq. And I was surprised to see that the car is actually going to be available for, I think, $60,000-$65,000, and that's a real price. So it's going to be very attractively priced. The performance is going to be so-so. They're going back to Cadillacs, I guess, of yesteryear, where floating around in a big boat at cruising speeds versus overall performance is perfectly acceptable.
Is that because of family size?
I'm not sure why. I think they just are.
Or they've
I'm
got
not
a
sure.
lot of extra. Okay. All right.
And to be fair, electric vehicles have been the race to make electric vehicles stupidly fast. It's just crazy. I mean, I think there are 9 or 10 cars in the electric car offerings that do 0 to 60 in less than 3.5 seconds. And that's just unnecessary. I mean, it's nice to have power getting off, off a stop sign and going up hills, but 0 to 60 in 3 seconds actually hurts your wrist, hurts your neck, hurts your head, as it gets banged on the headrest. There's just not much point in the game.
I think it was more, you'll forgive me, but more of a selling point to show that this wasn't like a go-kart compared to a regular gas, petrol, combustion engine. And then everyone got carried away with that competition instead of the, okay, but, right, would love to, very nice. Now, how do we make this functional for the and affordable for the average person?
Yes,
if we're really going that way, if we're messing with you, hey, mazel tov, everybody have a great time.
Back to the question of costs and operating costs, I was actually surprised to see that the maintenance cost on that Kia Kona were not very different between the electric car and the gas-powered car. Now, in all fairness, 3-year ownership at 15,000 miles is still less than 50,000 miles on a car. Engines, ICE engines, don't require a lot of maintenance or part replacements at that stage of their life. It'd be interesting to see if the calculation on 100 or 150,000 miles might be different. And I do believe that vehicles that do run high mileages will benefit from being powered by electric motors. I think there's no doubt that they are simpler in their build. Mechanically, there are a lot less moving parts involved in an electric motor than there are in a gas-powered car. And I think over time, electric motors will still be the way to go.
And you think that I'm always amazed that at the beginning of the turn of the last century, not this one, but the 1900s, you had electric buses, you had electric everything, you had cars that were literally plugged into the floors of the dealerships.
Yeah, I think all these technologies evolve quite a bit, and back to the EU situation, there is a push or there's one manufacturer of performance cars, Porsche, that is holding on to the idea that we can produce synthetic fuel and still have sports cars. In Porsche's case, they're obviously looking at sports cars and have sports cars powered by this synthetic fuel. And Porsche has started, has worked a lot on that and is trying to develop this synthetic fuel for racing applications. I think it's a losing battle in the long run. And it obviously is a shame because, I personally like, fun cars. My next car may very well be a, I'm looking, and I've talked about this before, a little two-seater, Subaru BRZ or the little Toyota equivalent. These are cars that run just over $30,000. They get good gas mileage. They're simple. They're fun to drive. They're not extremely fast. But I don't have a family to haul around, so I can look at that type of car. But other people just go the route of finding old cars, and there's plenty of old classic cars to just go motoring on weekends.
That is, again, we go back to the enjoyment factor, which in some cases I think people have forgotten about.
Well,
I don't want to say forgotten about.
It brings me to my safety tip of the day, and having seen, beautiful fall weekend, we're lucky to live in an area where there are beautiful roads, and I, for one, drove this weekend just because I had the opportunity going from where I was going to where I was going. I drove County Route 83 in on the New York State side of things, and the road is just a fun road to drive, and you don't have to drive it fast. It's just fun tooling around with the open roof or convertible if you have one. And my point now, getting to the safety tip, is, leave on time and give yourself time to enjoy the drive. You know, we usually are not good at doing things that we don't enjoy doing. So if we get up in the morning and leave late to go to work or go to school or go to, you know, bring kids to practice, we're just not going to be driving very well. And that's when things, you know, bad things can happen. So.
Yeah, no, and I think that's an excellent safety tip. And I just am going to weigh in Robin's honor, I guess. But I did notice, even with the super activity over this last, you know, big fall weekend, Halloween, pre-Halloween weekend, etc., but there's just a tremendous amount of, shall we say, unconsciousness by drivers. And that it's almost as if there's zero... less, they can't have lessons. There's no realization that they are sharing the road with people. It's just, it's like it's a very self-insulated thing now, which I understand, but am rather taken aback by.
Yeah, but I think that's a bigger problem in the world.
No, I agree, but it's
driving, but.
Except that, you know, you, if you're out of it at work, unless you're a surgeon, you know, you're not as likely to kill somebody's family member, be it two or four-legged, or, you know, mangle somebody's vehicle, or really ruin your day, as you are to, as not. And I'm just, it's one of those things that we do that requires a certain amount of connection, like it or not. Or it's, you know, so maybe the solution is, and I'm being marginally facetious, you know, just don't drive. If you can't manage to interact with other people, don't drive. And let's see whether that limits some of the
it'll be good for the rest of us because it'll be more room on the roads,
but not to mention it's more safety. Even with people who are leaden of foot, such as who shall remain nameless, that are leaden of foot. But
yeah, well, and historically, I have been one of them. But I think again, if you know, it's nice to enjoy the drive, and I think that if you give yourself the time to do the drive, even if it's a regular commute, it just makes it a lot more enjoyable. And I think if we're just more relaxed, where maybe we are more attentive to what's going on around us, and especially more respectful and more aware, and just willing to give up, you know, either time or space on the road.
And I happen to endorse that position. So I'm going to say, he is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.